Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Everyday Business Show. I'm your host, Tony Lontis, and today we have yet another amazing guest for you. But before we get on to the show, just a reminder, if you're listening live on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, we have the lovely Payo in the Philippines ready and waiting to answer your questions, take your comments, and provide you with links to anything that we talk about on the show today. A reminder too that you can rewatch the shows on Binge Networks USA, on Hero Go TV USA, and on the Tony TV channel app available on all LG, Roku, and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. Now, this is actually our last Everyday Business Show for 2021. And I am delighted to be sharing the day with you, and more delighted to be sharing the last show of 2021 with my friend Nicolette Minnie. Now, Nicolette is a very special female entrepreneur, and she is the founder of a femtech startup called Mel, a platform designed to reduce the invisible weight or mental load of thinking about and planning for the entire family by structuring, reminding, and sharing the load. Nicolette is originally from South Africa, but now lives in Brisbane, Australia with her husband and three little kids. Following an international move from the UK back to her homeland in South Africa with a 10-week-old baby and a 2-year-old toddler, the mental load of everything that was needed to be done and remembered erupted. And so she set about to find the solution, and that solution is Mel. Nicolette's favorite quote is, "Not all storms come to destroy, some come to clear a path." Why does this inspire her? Because in Nicolette's life, there have been some significant storms. Life isn't fair. In fact, life can be somewhat downright unbearable. And at that moment, all we want is for the storm to pass, or to scream out and rage against the unfairness of the storm. But Nicolette has learnt that if she allows the pain to be her teacher, to walk into the darkness instead of fearing and denying it, she will learn something new, grow in character, break open and find something within that needed to come out. Not all storms come to destroy. Some come to clear a path. Good afternoon, Nicolette, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Tony. Thank you. And I'm so privileged to know that I'm the last one for the year. That's quite something nice. I didn't know that. That's great.
Oh, I'm grateful to have gotten this far in 2021. And whilst I'm incredibly excited about 2022 and what it holds, the last couple of years have been incredibly trying for many, many, many people. And I know in talking to lots of others that people are fatigued and weary and COVID exhausted and everything else that's been going on. So this year, normally I just take a little break. I'm taking a little bit bigger break from my live shows just to have a breath and breathe and be prepared for 2022. And I'm delighted to share this last show with you, Mel. So let's talk about that journey. You were living in London and pregnant. And so I'm assuming that you started in South Africa and you moved to the UK. There must have been a good reason to do that.
Well, people often ask me that and they say, why London? And I say, well, because they let us in. And it's the truth. We wanted to
get like Queensland. Bit like Queensland, Nicolette.
So we actually wanted to come to Australia, but they said no.
Yeah.
And then we wanted to go to the States and they said no. And so we ended up in the UK. So yes, being a South African Having a green passport is not the most wanted passport in the world to travel with. So we ended up in London purely for that reason. They let us in. So we left in 2004. I told my mother-in-law that we were only going for a year. 10 years later, we were still there. and so, yes, I became a mother to our eldest, Isabel. And then we got pregnant with our second. And I was 34 weeks pregnant when my husband said, "That's it. I can't do this weather anymore. It's too little. We're moving back to South Africa."
Yeah.
And so I started packing. And, I often joke about it, but it was really the trip that nearly killed me. It was one of the hardest things that I had ever done. I loved living in England. We had spent 10 years there. I became mom there. I had this wonderful group of networks and friends around me. I was pregnant as well, which also didn't, the hormones don't exactly help. And then my poor husband had to leave. So our second was born, Aaliyah, and 4 weeks later he had to get on a plane and go and start his new job and find us a house and find us a car and all of these things. And I stayed behind with a two-year-old, a newborn, and a C-section to recover from, packing up 10 years of our life. Yep. And so I had this little book. I actually still have it because I think that it helps with the therapy sometimes just to look back and see what it is. But this book, I needed it because I had to make so many lists. Tony, I made lists for things that had to go on the aeroplane with me, but also, in the aeroplane, but doesn't have to be on the seat with me, And then I made a list of things that had to go into the airship container that went across. And then I had a list of the things that were going into the container. And I had a list of the insurances and the utilities and the mobile phone contracts and everything that had to be cancelled. I mean, for anybody who's ever done an international move, my heart goes out to you. I know how hard it is to do and to plan and to organise. And, you wake up in these cold sweats of, okay, have I done that? Have I done this? Don't forget this. And just making more and more and more. And I had this, brand new little bub who was bottle fed. Because I just couldn't do with anything else. I was like, I needed somebody else to be able to feed. Except then, of course, the midwife says to me, "Well, are you taking enough formula? Because you have to wean her across into the other formula when you get to South Africa." And so I ended up having to take 6 weeks of formula with me on this trip as well. So, yes, it was getting to the airport that day. I had two car seats, my stroller with the add-on for the two-year-old, and 7 30-kilogram pieces of luggage to check in. And we got there. And, of course, when we booked the tickets, my daughter wasn't born yet. And so I added her straight after she was born. But when we got to Heathrow that morning, the woman says to me, "I'm terribly sorry, your daughter's not on the plane." And I said, "What?" And she says, "Yes, I'm really sorry." I said, "But I have a reference number." She's like, "Yes, I see your reference number, but she's not on the plane." She's strapped to me. So, we're
going to I'm not going on the plane without her.
Exactly. And my two-year-old's running around like crazy in Heathrow. I have all of my friends there. I've been crying for days because I'm so emotional. And so she says, "All right, let's just sort this out." So she goes away. She phones and everything. And 20 minutes later, she manages to get her ticket to be on the plane. And then she says, "Right, let's start with the luggage. Do you like to put the first bag on?" And I put the first bag on, and it weighed 31 kilograms. And she said, would you mind taking just a kilogram out and moving it into something else? And I looked at her with really polite but very firm eyes and said, "No. I'm really sorry. I am not unpacking anything or repacking anything. I'm done." I said, "I will pay whatever it needs. I can't do this anymore." And she looked at me, and she must have been a mother because she pressed print. Yes. She printed 7 of these things. She came out on the side and she put everything on. She handed me my tickets and said,
"Oh, goodness me. How long's the flight from London to South Africa?"
It's a 12-hour flight.
Nicolette. By yourself with a toddler and a little munchkin and seven suitcases.
Thankfully, Tony, I did have my mom with me. So my mom was with me, which was amazing. The only downside was 3 days prior to the flight, my mom fell down the stairs and broke her coccyx. So my poor mom was not exactly in a state to help. Oh, I laugh about it now. My mom doesn't. She still says she doesn't laugh about it yet.
12 hours sitting on a plane with a broken coccyx. Oh my God.
Yes. Yeah.
No, wow. Okay. Mm. So you got there, and I'm hoping hubby was there to greet you off the plane.
Hubby was there, and at first he couldn't understand why I told him to bring two cars. and then we got there, and you know, the luggage all came out, and I called some wonderful helpers over, and they helped, and they had two trolleys, and I had the stroller, and so forth, and we walked through the gates, and you know, big Love Actually moment. He's there, and he's all excited, and he's just the stroller, and he's like, oh, you don't have that much stuff. And then the next moment, these two people come from the sides with two trolleys and park it. And he went, oh, okay.
I see.
So, he was there, and it was lovely, and it was.
And I'm assuming he had a house for you to go home to.
We had an empty house, so we had no furniture.
Okay.
And we had borrowed my bestie, whose parents still lived in South Africa, managed to give us all of their camping equipment. So we had camping chairs and camping kitchen and blow up mattresses to sleep on. And of course, I had in one of my 7 kilogram bags, I had a pull up a cot for the little one.
Bassinet? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So yes, we and my little one, my 2-year-old, just rode around on her little scooter around the house because there was nothing in there. It was empty.
Perfect. Perfect.
It was
so I'm assuming it took a while to settle into the new house, but then what happens? What did you get organized pretty quickly?
Yeah, so Tony, I was incredibly fortunate that I actually managed to keep my job from London. So I actually remained the European marketing manager for a great company. And so they said, look, take your 3 months maternity, move country, settle in, and start in January. And so that's what I did. So we set up house, the containers came, we unpacked, etc. And so very quickly needed to go find daycare for the 2-year-old, and then I went and found a nanny for the baby because she was still really little. Of course, being back in South Africa, we had the privilege of having more help, and so we had a domestic gardener called MacDonald, who my 2-year-old referred to as Old MacDonald, and she used to follow him around as he was mowing the lawn and doing all of these things. And it was wonderful. I mean, there was all of this help. We had spent 10 years in the UK doing dishes and laundry and all of these things. And all of a sudden we had all of this amazing help. And then somehow I realized,
magic.
But something's wrong. I was more worried. I was more stressed than I had ever been. And I couldn't really understand what was going on because I had all of this help. And then one day it dawned on me. Mm-hmm. I now had 3 extra people that I had to manage. And I deeply care for people. So I wanted to know when Yunella, our nanny's kids' birthdays were, and Evelyn's kids' birthday, and Old MacDonald's kids' birthdays. And I needed to keep track of when they started and when to pay them, because some of them were paid weekly and others bi-weekly and then monthly, and they had sick days, and then we had to manage all the things that they had to do and then buy all of the equipment that they needed in order to fulfill their jobs. And so I was so overwhelmed with managing my household, and my husband, bless him, would come home, everything was done, and he was just living his best life. Playing with the kids. I mean, he still did bath time. He always does bath time. Did bath time with the kids, but it would come out and everything was done. The house was clean. The dishes were washed. You know, the dinner was cooked. It was all great. And I was like, a little bit twitching because I'm just so stressed.
Yes. But it was out of that stress because you started talking to some of the other daycare mums, and they were saying similar things, weren't they? And it sort of led to this whole conversation about women's mental load and what that looks like. So now, for those audience that may not have heard of mental load, if you're female, you know what this is. But what is mental load?
Well, so Tony, the mental load is the thinking about element of everything that needs to get done. And so I like to use examples because it makes it easy for people to understand. And so an easy mm-hmm. example is if you have a child and your 7-year-old boy comes home and he says, "Mom, I really want to do karate." And that's the simple request, right? He wants to start karate. Well, now the mom has to go away and go and find out where the best karate place is to do that. Find out when the schedule is, then see whether or not it fits into all of the other extracurricular activities that he's already doing. Arrange pickups and drop-offs if there isn't something from the school. Then fill in all of the paperwork. Go and make sure they can buy the uniform. Possibly look on Marketplace to buy a secondhand uniform because it's so expensive. And then arrange. You know, That's the mental load. It's everything that goes with that one thing of, "Mom, all I want to do is do karate." Or the teacher says, "I think maybe your year fourer needs some math tutoring." Where do you find a math tutor? You know, and then again, where do you, that's the mental load. The physical load is something that we're all very familiar with. It's the dishes, the laundry, the cleaning, the ironing, the things that you can see. But the mental load are all of those things that have to get done.
And, it's being on a conference call with one baby strapped mm-hmm. to your front and the toddler on your hip screaming because they're teething, and knowing that you need to make sure that there's something to eat for mm-hmm. the family at dinner time, and just all of that. Whereas men, bless their cotton socks, they don't really think like we do. So in our mind are 10 million things that we need to organize, check mm-hmm. up, chase mm-hmm. up. If you're a working businesswoman, there's all the business stuff. And on mm-hmm. top of that, there's all the family stuff. There's mm-hmm. doctor's appointments, there's specialist checkups, there's birthdays, there's mm-hmm. family dues, there's mm-hmm. social dues. It's just endless. And some women do it really, really well. And for those of us, it causes anxious overload. And I'm so glad.
I think it causes anxious overload for all of us. And even those that do it well, I think that, and that's the reason why Mel is icon is a swan, because I believe that women are like swans. We look graceful and beautiful and like we have it all together, but meanwhile under the water our feet are flapping like crazy, you know. But you're right, Tony. Definitely. Some of us we make it look easy, but it's not. Every woman I have ever spoken to, and there is no mother I haven't spoken to that says, "Oh no, I don't have any mental load." Every single mother has mental load. The way that we carry it is different. I think that's the only thing.
And I was reflecting on this when I was thinking about our interview today. And, of course, my children are adults and have a child. I have a grandchild as well. And I was trying to, as I was reading through your stuff, I'm instinctively remembering what that was like. Now, my kids, like I said, they're in their 30s. But instinctively, I could reflect and remember exactly what that feeling was like. And then I started to reflect, how much has that changed? And I'm like, not really a lot, because I'm still the keeper of the birthdays, the family get-togethers, all the business stuff, plus husband's appointments, whatever is happening. Plus we've got animals, and then there's all the animal stuff. Like, when are they due for their vaccinations? When are they due for a vet check? How long since they've been wormed? It just goes on and on. Absolutely. And you're right. There's women out there that just look so peacefully calm and got it under control. But I'm sure that underneath it's just like there's a lot to do. And I've talked to my husband about this too, and his concern for the day is, what's for dinner? What about the clothes that you need to wear to that business meeting in 24 hours? Are they actually washed, dried, cleaned and ready to go? You know, that sort of stuff. They don't think about it. They just go to the cupboard and go, oh, clean shirt.
Yes.
It's
one of the things that I truly do envy about men. I really do. Yes. I've often heard the nothing box that men have. You know, this box inside their minds where they can go to and just think about nothing. I think, oh, that must be amazing. I don't know what that is. My nothing box is really full. It's full of a whole bunch of stuff. There's never, you know, and then, oh, but just don't worry about it. Oh, well, that's not helpful. Uh-huh. Either, you know, and I mean, Christmas is such a stressful time. I mean, you know, how many of us have different events that we have to go to, and then this one has a secret Santa, and this one has a stealing secret Santa, and then this one is that, and
this one has a concert, and
the concerts and the booking of the tickets and the arranging of the costumes, and that one needed
and
a red
getting the mare and
yes.
And that's what I was actually reflecting on, and going back to Christmas time and the Christmas, end of year concerts and breakup days and the mm-hmm. things that were involved with that. And, you know, my daughter was doing ballet, so there was all the ballet stuff, shoes and the costumes and the makeup and the hair and the, all of that is what I was reflecting on. And conversely, my son was in soccer and there were breakup games and end of year trophy matches and awards nights a lot. And then, you know, I've said to my husband many, many times when he's sitting there, what are you thinking about? And he'll go, nothing. I said, what's in your head right now? Nothing. And I'm like you, Nicola, and I'm like, how does that happen? How does that happen?
I know. And then so we the
point is, I know, but it goes nothing. Nothing is in there. And I'm like, wow.
That must be so good. Yes.
Nicolette, why do you think that we don't talk about this more often and more openly?
Well, Tony, I thought about that. I think women do. I think we do together. We definitely do.
Yes.
But I think that also I know for myself, in many cases, it's not that my husband doesn't want to do things. It's that he just doesn't
know. No.
And so oftentimes I don't feel like I want to necessarily bring it up when we're around the dinner table, because I don't want him to feel bad or look bad because he's not.
Yes. Because that's not what it's about.
No, it's not what it's about. And so we end up not talking about it. I don't know. It's a very strange thing. I mean, there are quite a few men that get the physical load and the mental load confused. And so sometimes the men will say, well, I do my fair share. And they are referring to, well, I do the dishes and I do the cooking.
I do the washer.
Laundry, or you do the garden and I do this. And so they think in their minds, well, why are we even talking about this? Because I do my fair share, and then that's just going to lead into a fight when you actually have to start pointing out no you don't, not doing your fair share. And so I don't know, Tony. It's a really strange thing. I mean, the mental load is definitely being spoken more amongst women, and especially professional women, because there are, you know, in Australia alone, over 60% of married couples are both working full-time, which means that women and men are equally doing 40 hours of work, but women are still doing at least 6 to 8 hours of housework on top of what the men are doing. And so I think in those circles, we're definitely talking more about it. But I'm hoping that we can change that with the future generations. I think it's a little bit difficult. You know, I'm 40 next month. I think it's difficult to change something that's been in your marriage for 15 years all of a sudden to say, now I'd like you to book the kids' birthdays and plan them.
Yeah.
When we have three kids and I've now, you know, collectively done 22 different birthday parties over the time. It's easy for me to do, and so I don't know, Tony. It's an interesting one, but maybe we should talk about it a bit more.
Well, I was going to say we have conversation around who's going to get dinner. So I did all of that when the kids were growing up. The kids mm-hmm. have left home, see, and now I've had enough of being mm-hmm. the principal cooking person yes. in the house. Yes. I've done it for almost 40 years. I don't yep. want to do it anymore.
Yep.
And he just doesn't think about it until it's 7 o'clock at night and, oh, what are we going to have for dinner? Mm. And it's that sort of conversation, because it just yeah. doesn't enter their thinking space yeah. for most men during the course of a day. Yeah. I recently had my son and his partner come home, and he does the cooking in their household. Oh, right. And so when he came home, he actually did the cooking for us. And I'm like, wonderful. Oh, my Lord, isn't this good?
Congratulations, because we're Tony, still... you managed to change one man already.
That's what I think. I must remember to tell Nicolette, I think I've changed one. So he was automatically thinking about what to prepare for dinner during the day and saying, hey, Mum, what do you think about da-da-da-da-da? And, of course, me, I'm going, oh, my God, this is seventh heaven. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. how did this happen? Mm-hmm. So I hope that it will change. Now, Nicolette, I want to talk about Mel, the app. I know. Yeah. I'm so from that anxiety and that extreme load of information you're trying to keep in your brain at that time came this wonderful development. So tell us about the process of Mel and the app. How you started with that, how it happened, and what it does.
Absolutely. So, Tony, like I said, I've always worked in the corporate world, and I've always managed teams, and sometimes those teams were scattered around the globe, and sometimes they were in the same office, irrelevant of where the teams were. There are so many wonderful business tools out there for collaboration and productivity, designed specifically to help a small group of people to be more productive. You have Slack, you have Asana, you have ClickUp, you have Microsoft Teams, we have all of these things. And so I was like, oh, this is so good and we're getting so much more done. Why doesn't that exist for the household? You know, why isn't there a productivity tool that allows me and my husband to actually look at everything that needs to get done in the house and divide it?
And allocate it.
And allocated, right? And so when we talk about Mel as a platform to plan and manage, the most important thing there is share. We need to share the mental load. And so although Mel is very much focused towards, we are marketing towards women because we are realistic that the woman will be the one that downloads it, and 90% of the things will be completed by her. But the objective of it is to have a single place in order to manage the household. And so Mel has a whole range of different features. So we have in there a feature for the profile. So every member of the family has a profile, including pets, Tony, because you are right, when last did they have their deworming medication? And, you know, where is the vet, et cetera. And so the profile allows you to keep track of other things as well that oftentimes is just kept in the mind of the mom. So, for example, my son broke his collarbone last year. I don't know which side. Was it left or right? I can't remember. And which year, you know, one of them had tonsillitis. Where do you put that information? Right. And so we built a purposeful place to hold that information. And so, for example, again, my kids are now, next year she'll be in 2G, I think. I can't remember, actually, because the eldest one maybe was in 2B. Like, so we have this section to put all of this information that just generally lives in the mind of the mother. We then have this, we call in the filing cabinet, which is a place to keep all the information for everything in your life that can expire or auto-renew. So passport expirations, driver's license expirations, regos, health insurance, life insurance, all of that type of thing, memberships, all of that type of information, so that Mel can actually remind you before it's too late. How many times has one of your insurance policies just, it auto-renews, and you know that it is not the best deal, but you don't have time to go look for it. And so Mel is going to come in and support that. And then we have a wonderful to-do section. And so it's a It works on bringing commercial Kanban methodology, so by breaking down your to-dos into sections. And we're using really great language, like, what do I absolutely have to do this week? What do I have to do sometime in the future? And what do I want to do eventually? Like, one day when I have space in my life again. And so there's some really great research that shows if you break down your to-dos into smaller chunks, you're more likely to actually get it done instead of looking at the whole list over and over and over again. And so not only do we do that, but it allows you the ability to share. So you can assign a task to your husband and you can actually get Mel to remind him of it. So you don't have to. And those are just some of the features that I'll talk about now. We have a whole range of other ones coming, but it's all about taking the mental load, which is more than a to-do list. It's more than a filing cabinet. It's more than just bits of information. Yes. Actually putting it together, taking it all into one place, and then having a Mel in your life, a personal assistant, because every mom needs a personal assistant, and you now have one. Going to be called Mel, and she will help you and remind you and suggest things for you. So, you know, when your anniversary comes up, she'll suggest, hey, it's 18 years, it's cotton, your husband loves golf, here's a really nice Lacoste shirt, and you can so it's all about it's all about being present for the moments that matter. We have so little time right now, and so in the times that we do have with our families, let's take all of that clutter out of our minds, put it into Mel, knowing it's somewhere else. It's going to be reminded. It's going to be taken, you know, and be present. And that's what it's about.
I'm guessing that you've been testing it on your own family. And I'm wondering how that's going.
Oh, Tony, it is going so well. You know, my husband has really, really stepped up. I think taking him on this journey and being able see how much I do that he just wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. And he's the first to say, and I love him for that. He'll say that. And so just this week, he was the one who added the dates for when the kids' books can go to school before the school actually starts. I nearly fell off my chair. I was so happy. It was one less thing. Now, look, I was still the one who had to go buy all of the stuff and label everything and all of that. Yeah. He did that one small thing, which was to add those dates in so that we knew when to do it. And that was wonderful. And he thought about it. And so, no, he's doing really well. And it's helping us. I have an advisor over in Brisbane City. And he said to me, Nicola, what I'm most excited about, Mel, is just knowing what is on my wife's to-do list. I want to help. I just don't know what to do. And so being able to see it and being able to do something and, you know, coming home and say, oh, by the way, hon, I phoned the dentist. I made that appointment for the kids. Oh, that would be bliss, you know?
So that's fantastic.
Yes, my kids keep telling me why hasn't it launched yet. Of course, they have. Mom, are you still working on this?
So let's just tell the audience what it takes to build a platform that encompasses all of those things. It's really tricky, isn't it? It's not straightforward. It's not easy. There's loads and loads of things that you have to consider, and that's without the coding and stuff that goes into building a platform or an app that you want to do certain things. So what's that journey been like, Nicolette?
Gosh, it's been really fun because I have a wonderful co-founder, Ruth, who is a UX designer. And so her entire career is about creating wonderful design and user experiences. So that's fantastic. And so I'm this is what I wanted to do. And we brainstorm and we sit and we draw, you know, we're very visual and we take it out. But yes, you're right, Tony, like I think we take for granted when apps are well designed, you know, where your thumb is,
what goes into
it and then what happens and how intuitive it is. And for us, one of our key focus points is we know our target market is time poor. So we know that Mel has to be super intuitive, super easy to use, and really fun as well. And so that's probably been, like I say, it has been a very joyful experience because we've been able to bring in these little moments of delight into the build process. But it's we started off with, oh, you know, five features and just and then every button, oh, if this button do this and this button does that and this button does that, and before you know it there are 2,000 screens further because everything has its different elements. And we have a wonderful CTO, James, who lives in London, so we have a global team just already. And James is a father of two, and he loves the challenge of this. I think his words were, "I'm trying to build my wife's brain into a platform." And so one of the things that has been fascinating about the build is that traditionally IT project management goes according to men's brains. They're boxes, right?
Yes.
There's a box for this feature and a box for this feature, and they want to build it that way. But the whole point of Mel is that actually everything connects to each other. So the car insurance connects to the profile of the husband that you've created that then connects to the to-dos, because there's no point in us just reminding you unless we actually allow you to create a task to do something about it, which then needs to go to a push notification, you know. So it all, so that, you know, we have these wonderful, and we have a development team in Poland who's been amazing, but they're all sort of all scratching going, wow, this is what women do. Yes. This is not actually factoring in how much driving we do to drop and pick up kids and drop them off at various. Kids. Oh my gosh! Yeah. Yes, maybe Mel will one day become an Uber and actually take some kids around.
Nicolette, is there AI involved in the platform?
Yes, absolutely, Tony. AI is such a strange term. I mean, it's artificial intelligence, and I don't really think there is true AI at the moment. And so we have more what's referred to as machine learning. So we have we've built in a lot of machine learning into the engine. And so, like any good PA, the more information we have, the more we get to learn. And so we actually ask people about their interests and preferences and hobbies, so that when we come back with suggestions, we're not suggesting to your 6-year-old daughter unicorns that are pink, when we actually know that she hates pink and unicorns and she's not the stereotypical 6-year-old, you know, rather suggest something else. So we have that machine learning. We also are building in a lot of learning around task management and helping a woman to set up for success. So instead of just allowing you to go and create 150 tasks in your to-do list, now Mel will actually get to a point where we'll say, you know what, Tony, you're not setting yourself up for success, you darling. This is never going to be done in a week. Assign this to your husband or take it out. So we really are all about, how do we help women to feel like the hamster wheel is slowing down? Look, we're never going to get off it, not while we have kids.
No.
But it is just slowing it down and maybe not feeling like you're going to fall all the time. So it's just creating that sense of, actually, I am in control. I know what's going on. I have my priorities. I can spend this time with the kids and be present, knowing that, it's
everything's okay.
Yeah.
Nicolette, have you found that it's helped you already?
Oh, yes.
Even in just developing the platform, it's helped you already?
It has, and in a number of ways, Tony, and it's so strange because I talk about these little things like my son's collarbone, but when our kids were born, they had severe jaundice, the girls, and so they were under double light therapy for a long time, etc., and it was because of the blood resource incompatibility. And I remember saying to my husband, "What are the girls' blood type?" And he went, "I don't know." And I said to him, whenever you get asked, I want you to just remember, just be positive, positive, just be positive, because they're be positive. And I knew that if I sang it to him, maybe he would remember. But it would always bother me that if something were to happen to me, there's a lot of information about my kids that would just not be there anymore. And so having Mel now and being able to put in the last 10 years of Isabel's life and 8 years of Aaliyah's life and 5 years of Lucas's life into one place that my husband has access to, and he can access. When did they have their tonsils removed? Which one of the three has had chickenpox? Which one has had adenoids removed? You know, that type of thing has in me relieved an anxiety that I didn't really appreciate
Absolutely.
I was carrying that worry of, I'm their mom. Nobody will love them the
I
way
should
that
know
I
this.
Do, or know them the way that I do. And so that has been huge for me to be able to use it. But then also on the day-to-day, like the day-to-day running of the household and having our task list and having them tagged. So I can just search for the tags. So for example, we're going away next week and I can just create a list of everything that we need to and everything that has to get bought. And my husband came back yesterday and he bought the gin and I was so happy because that's one less trip that I have to make because I can't buy the gin off of my Coles order, you know? And so it was just so, so wonderful to be able to collaborate in that way. And really for him to also see on there without having to ask me, wow, this is everything that needs to get done before we leave next Wednesday. I had better do some of this stuff. Because historically, Tony, you know, we would end up in a fight because I would have all of this stuff
yes.
to do and then he'd decide to wash the car. And I think,
yes.
why is he washing the car right now? I really could do with some help, but he didn't know. And so I think in, you know, in marriages, we have these fights that can so easily be prevented if we communicated.
Yeah.
I mean, the marriage counselors always say you need to communicate. Well, I'm hoping that Mel's actually going to help us to be communicators of some of the unseen,
Definitely.
The mental load, right? Not the physical load. My husband is amazing at making sure that the house is tidy and he locks all the doors and he'll do all of those things. But everything else that has to happen before you leave and go on a trip with three kids, he's now able to do. And I love him so much. I mean, I love him anyway, but my
yes.
goodness, I love him so much
yes.
more when he takes something off of my list and just does it.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Nicolette, the information that is stored on the platform, I'm guessing that you've got all levels of security to protect that and to store it somewhere safe.
Yeah.
And is it like downloadable? So, for instance, I'm just thinking outside the square, the kids get older and they want a medical history and there's a way that they can go, okay, well, this happened when I was 2, this happened when I was 4, this happened when I was 7, that sort of stuff.
These are all the vaccines that I had. Yes. We actually have that question regularly. Right now, Tony, we're not able to do that, but it is on our roadmap. And what we're thinking
that
we'll create a duplicate.
You'll launch with something.
Profile, and then the child will be able to take their profile into their own subscription. So that's our thinking moving forward. And we have developed it in such a way that it is possible. But right now, at launch, no. Your kids will just have to sort
yes. So let's talk about launch, Nicolette. When's that? Or when do you anticipate that will be?
Tony, launch is early next year. So Q1 of next year we'll be launching. We were hoping to have launched so far, but I've been a little bit surprised about how hard it is to get funding for this. And mostly because, you know, because I'm talking to men, you know, the most of the money that's available to go to startups is controlled by men, and I'm trying to sell them the mental load, which, you know, I remember one man actually saying to me, Nicolette, is this really a problem? Gosh, it made me laugh. So that's been a little bit harder. So we've actually had to bootstrap a lot further. I've had to go back to work to try and fund a lot of it. So we are pushing into Q1 of next year, which is very exciting. We're launching with a smaller feature set, but we've got such a great roadmap of features that's already designed. The thinking is gone. It's all done, but we'll roll it out over time in next year.
Nicolette, will it be download the app for free and subscribe, or how's it going to work?
Yes, so it is a download app for free. So everybody has a 30-day free trial, of course, you know, 30
yep.
days.
Yes.
And we will woo you and show how amazing it is and how you can't believe how you ever had life without Mel.
Can't live without it.
And then it's a subscription service after that. So it's $10.99 a month for the subscription.
Yeah.
But probably one of the most exciting things about Mel with your subscription, and the reason why we also did this, is because we're a profit for purpose business.
Yes.
And so
yes.
part of every subscription that a first world woman takes goes towards sending a mom in South Africa a text message in her native language of her children's vaccinations and her own contraception expiration.
Wow.
That is something that is incredibly dear to our hearts and what we want to do. And, you know, the mental load, Tony, is something that every woman in the world suffers. It just looks different to the first world.
I was just going to say, let's talk about the difference between first world and third world and the incredible mental load for our third world counterparts, like the women in South Africa, what they have to go through and why it's different. I think it's important for us to talk about that. So let's talk about their experience.
It was something that, you know, when I moved back to South Africa with obviously a 2-year-old and a 10-week-old, I was really struck by. And so in England, they have the NHS, and I know some people complain about the NHS, but I think the NHS is amazing. It's the National Health Service over there. And, you know, when you have a baby, every woman, they send you physical letters through the post to remind you of your children's vaccinations. And, of course, the postal service works amazingly, and so you get that. Here I was back in South Africa, and I was so busy trying to do everything else that come March, I had realized, gosh, I hadn't taken this new baby of mine for a vaccination, and I knew I was supposed to. So I make this appointment with the doctor, whom I won't mention, this pediatrician. Yeah. So I go to this appointment, and my 2-year-old is destroying his office, you know, unpacking every toy. My little 5-month-old is chewing on my thumb. And he just starts barking information at me. You should have done this. You should have done this. You should have done this. And I'm overwhelmed. And so I said to him, is there anywhere I can go to read this? And he leans forward and he says, why are you not paying attention? So I swallow the tears. I move my child onto the other hip. And anyway, I drive home and I get home. And the lady who's working for me is a lady called Yanela. And she's the First Nation Kosa lady, beautiful woman, gosh, and she loved my kids. And her children weren't much older than mine. And so I got home and I said to her, Yanela, how do you remember to take your kids for their vaccinations? And she says, you just remember. I said, but what if you don't?
Yeah.
And she sort of just looked at me and didn't really think much of it. And then I said, what do you do for your contraception? And she said, oh, I go for the injection. I said, great. When do you have to go again? May. When in May? And she just said May. Oh, Tony, my heart just sank because I thought you could.
Yeah, because if she forgets. Yeah.
And so I started doing some research, you know, and one of the vaccines that I was within days of missing for my daughter was the rotavirus vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I looked it up recently, and, you know, in Australia, we have had 16 deaths of rotavirus in 10 years. 150,000 children die of rotavirus per year in Africa.
In South Africa?
In sub-Saharan Africa. 150,000 children. And this is a completely preventable disease. The vaccines are available, you know, they're there. It's that the moms forget. It's because it's a multi-part vaccination that has to be taken at exactly specific times and intervals. And this poor mom is thinking, how am I going to feed this child today? And where am I going to get my job? You know, because a lot of people in First Nation people in Africa are working day to day. You know, and so they're trying to find work every day. They're not thinking about taking their kids for vaccines. And preventable things. And so, you know, in the 150,000, these are all children under the age of 5. So, I mean, they're babies, which is why when we smell, you know, we just, Ruth and I said, this is something that we have to stop. And if all it takes is a text message, because that is all it takes. It's all it takes. It's just a reminder. It's a simple algorithm that just says, born here. Send them at these dates. The moms will go. They will go if we just remind them of it. And so for us, we feel really fortunate, and a lot of the we have quite a number of pre-registered users already have said that our purpose and that about being able to know that this is going to help me, but it's going to help somebody on the other side of the world that I don't even know, to help to make sure that her kids are safe and that she's in control of the number of pregnancies that she has, and what they're doing. And so that to us is... Yeah, I'm super. I mean, amazing. I love the idea of Mel, but I'm even more excited about what we're going to be able to do to help every woman with their mental load across the world.
Absolutely. And just for I've signed up for the pre-registration. So, and that's the last thing that we have to talk about on the interview today. Mm-hmm. The link will be in all the notes that are attached to this interview. But Nicolette, can you tell the audience what that are listening live, how do they register for Mel?
Absolutely. So our website is Thanks Mel, because you know, Mel used to be a Spice Girl and took the domain.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's just go to thanksmel.com. You can find out a little bit more about us. There's a pre-register button. We'd love to know a little bit about the woman who are pre-registering, and we'll be able to let them know straight away once it's available on the App Store and the Google Play Store.
So it's going to be available for iPhone and Android, and yep. So that covers everyone across the planet, essentially, doesn't it? And all the women across the world. It's global. It's not going to be it's not just going to be available in Australia, but it's going to be available for women across the world.
It will be available only in Australia to begin with, because we like to de-risk, Tony. So we're going to make sure that everything works perfectly well. So we're going to start just
before
here
you.
In Australia and make sure that all the kinks and the bugs are ironed out, and then we'll push it out to the rest of the world. Yes.
Yeah. But people can still register from across the world, though.
Please do. And actually, the pre-registrations from across the world really helps us to understand where to focus our next efforts. And so that would be really, really wonderful if people could pre-register.
So if you get lots of pre-registrations from the US, for example, the US would be the next place that you launch. Or if it happened to be South Africa, it would be South Africa.
Yes.
And conversely across the world.
UK,
Nicolette,
Canada,
what?
Wherever.
Yes.
Because every mom needs
help. It'll be in English to start with, but I'm guessing that there's plans in that brain of yours for a translation into other languages down the track.
So we've actually already architected it in order to facilitate very simple translation. So it's built that way. We're just waiting patiently to make sure we roll it out. Ruth and I are very thorough in the way that we do things, and we want to make sure that we give women a really superb experience in using this, because we want to make sure that they use it all the time and that they tell their friends and that it's going to help their mental load, so that they can say thanks Mel. You know, we want, that's our big thing. Every day we should be able to remind or help a mom
thanks,
in a way
Mel.
That she goes, oh, thanks Mel. Yeah.
I just had a vision then of a robot assistant that had Mel as its background platform, and thinking, oh my goodness, how much fun would that be? Someone who does the vacuuming or the mopping or puts the load of washing on, but they have Mel running in the background to remind you of this, 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 and this. Like, isn't the future exciting, Nicolette?
Oh, I think the future is very exciting. You know, again, architecting this to open up APIs so that you can talk to Google but talk to Mel. Hey, Google, please tell Mel to add orange juice to my shopping list.
Yes. Or,
hey, Google, please tell Mel. And so that's all part of the development of where we're going. And like I say, this generation coming, that I think there is going to be a generation of women who aren't just going to sit by and say, no, I'm not going to do all of this. You need to do some of that. And being able to have been part of building a platform that enables women to be more empowered, and for men to take on more responsibility and enjoy taking on more responsibility when it comes to the health of their children and the development milestones and all of those things. You know, I remember being a mom myself, and about 7 months old, my husband turns to me and he said, when did the kids start going to the dentist? And I don't know why, it was probably just a bad day, but I lost it. And I said to him, I don't know. I became a parent at the same time you do. Why do you think I know these things? And so Mel being able to actually start proactively pushing these things out so that you don't have to lie in bed at 10 o'clock at night Googling, when is my kid supposed to start crawling or doing this or doing
that?
Yes,
exactly. Those things that you just like, when are they supposed to crawl? When are they supposed to walk? Yes. What's normal? What's not? When do teeth start to erupt and cause
dramas? And worrying about it. Why did they stop sleeping all of a sudden after 2 months? They slept so well and now they stop sleeping again. Yep, this is normal.
Absolutely.
And again, Tony, those are a lot of things that make women pretty anxious, you know, as first-time moms.
They do.
They also have this project tomorrow that you have to present and you have to do all of these other things, and all of a sudden your kid is not doing what they were supposed to do, and finding out that, no, this is all okay. It's normal. You're doing a great job. You're not just doing fine. You're doing a great job, and celebrating with you and really supporting women and families. I mean, we start with women, but the idea, the ethos behind Mel is that
once you empower a woman,
yes,
that's correct.
Exactly.
Nicolette, we have run out of time completely. It has been fantastic talking to you. I envision talking to you again in the future. As I said, I'm registered for when you launch. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming on the last show of 2021, the Everyday Business Show, and telling us about your amazing platform. Don't forget, people, jump on, particularly women, jump on and pre-register so that Nicolette can get in touch with you and go, we're going live. Nicolette, thank you so much. Congratulations. Well done. Phenomenal work. And I can't wait to see what unfolds in the future.
Thank you.
Wonderful audience. That is your lot for today and your lot for 2021. We'll be back in 2022 with some more Everyday Business shows, talking to fascinating men and women across the planet about the business that they do every day. Nicolette, thank you very much. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye.